The Guardian.
Euro 2012 Football Daily with James Richardson from The Guardian.
Day 12. Hoist that bunting. Roy's boys top Group D. Dropping cigs out on the carpet. Not using drinks mats on wooden furniture. Poo-pooing their record selection. Compared to the 1-0 Indonets, they're all relatively exciting ways of putting out the host. But hey, let's not be churlish. Let's instead laugh at France, who got done by Sweden with a magnificent goal from Ibra that'll only confirm his reputation as a big-game bottler. And let's look forward to what awaits on Thursday with the quarterfinals and the eight-nation army that's gunning for the title. All of that in today's Euro 2012 Football Daily. Woof! Donetsk, great to be back, and great to have you back, Barry Glendenning.
Yes, in the absence of a canary, I was sent down to mine. Make sure everything was okay for the rest of you.
All right. Here's Paul Doyle.
Hi, James.
Careful with that helmet. You're shining the light in my eyes. All right. Are you well?
Yeah.
Good. And here's Amy Lawrence.
Hello.
You're anything but the pits in my book, Amy. Yes, you are.
This is getting more fun.
12 days in. I can't believe this 12 days is over already. The group stages, they're gone. Don't look for them. They're not there anymore. And what a finale for England, as not only did they qualify for the quarterfinals, but they topped the group. Barry, a brave, brave 1-0 win against host nation Ukraine. Tell us, how was it?
It was patchy at best. We always get criticised for being disparaging about England here, but it's very difficult not to be on the strength of their first half performance tonight. It was absolutely abysmal. Second half was a slight improvement, but did enough to win it. And had a bit of luck, which, as it happened, this was obviously the goal that wasn't, which John Terry hooked off the line or from over the line. The referee's goal line assistant wasn't in a position to be able to advise the ref to award the goal because the goalpost was in his way, which would sort of beg the question, why didn't he move so that the goalpost wouldn't be in his way? But back to the performance, you know, it could have gone either way. Ukraine were quite toothless up front. But
and particularly worrying at the back, Piesow, no, the goalkeeper.
Oh, he's awful. Yeah, he's their fourth choice keeper. One's on a drugs ban, two are injured, so he's number four, and he really looked like as if there were only four goalkeepers in Ukraine.
Can you make a case, Amy, for Joe Hart being the player of the tournament so far?
That wouldn't be my choice, but
I just think he's been outstanding in every game so far.
Well, I think it's just so important for England to have that kind of presence that he gives to the team, and that he clearly lends a great feeling of security. But I think if you're sending out compliments, Roy Hodgson probably deserves to get a fair amount of praise at the moment, and I think at this time, although one doesn't want to kick someone when they're down, but be interesting, there was obviously such a weight of opinion behind Harry Redknapp, and I think it's quite revealing that nobody's really, you know, it would have been very easy at this stage, if things hadn't gone well, that there wouldn't have been a lot of Harry talk.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we're in a situation where that's not the case, and Hodgson, I think, has handled it all extremely well. I still remain to kind of wonder about if there was a lot of pressure, how he would react to that. And he hasn't really been in that situation yet. But so far, so good, very much from his point of view. And really just going to be interesting to see how he approaches the knockout phase. And obviously he's got good knowledge of Italian football, having worked with Inter and Udinese before. So I think it's probably going to be, apart from the obvious, we're delighted that it's not going to be Spain. He'll be extra pleased that in Italy there's a nation that he's very familiar with.
Right. Well, England actually topping their group for once. When was the last time that happened in a tournament? A fair while ago, I should think, no?
Blank faces all around.
Yeah.
I think you can certainly see Hodgson's influence on the team for good and bad. I mean, defensively, at set pieces, they're very sound, which they never were in recent years. There was always lapses in concentrations, although they nearly came undone this evening at a short corner where everyone went to sleep. Yarmolenko took one quick. And then there's the rigid banks of four for which he's fabled, and they looked very ponderous and slow and immobile and lethargic in the first half today, and really sort of fallible when zippy little Ukrainians got in amongst them and between the lines passing. I was very impressed tonight with Ukraine's sort of attack down the right flank, the right back Gusev and Yarmolenko linking up to splendid effect, and they gave Ashley Cole a really, really torrid time. I can't remember the last time I've seen Ashley Cole look that uncomfortable in a game.
No, fair point. Well, there at the stadium in Donetsk was Ovarian Barney Rone soaking up the atmosphere and probably tooting on his cornet as well. Let's see if Barney's now got time to talk to us about his experiences.
Hi, James. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well. And how are you? Enthralled, infused, entertained?
Yeah, I was very entertained. It was not the game of finesse.
No.
But it was certainly very exciting. And can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can also hear what sounds like a top Ukrainian eatery behind you. Is this?
No, I'm actually lost in the bowels of the Donbass Arena. I've just come out of a very sweaty mixed zone.
Ooh.
There's some exciting news of a Oleg Blokhin explosion in his press conference.
Ah.
Apparently, he ranted and raved and then challenged a local Ukrainian journalist to a man fight outside.
Cool.
And he went on for about 10 minutes and was still pointing at him at the end of the press conference. Very exciting.
Did you ask a question, Barney?
No.
Okay. All right.
Well, I don't want a man fight.
No, okay. What was it like in the stadium? I thought it sounded a little bit flat, but you can never be sure if that's just the way the TV mics are picking things up. Because, you know, Ukraine were on the verge of going out and the whole nation was supposed to be behind them. And as the commentator told us, if they beat England, it would be like Independence Day all over again.
Yeah, well, there was no sense of that. It was weird. It was occasionally these incredibly loud whistles. Then it would be completely silent. And then, after about 20 minutes, they started doing a Mexican wave, which the England section just completely ignored. And, they just filed out at the end. I mean, this is not a football-crazy country. And it's not even a particularly Ukraine-crazy country in this bit.
Really?
It was kind of cheerful, but, you know, it was hardly a hotbed. A cauldron. I saw something on the BBC threatening us with a cauldron.
Right.
There was nothing of the sort.
Oh. Huh.
What do you folks over there like to do?
I think they enjoy extensive public corruption and driving around in very old cars, from what I can tell.
Plus man
fights. It's a very strange country, Ukraine. It's very nice in lots of ways.
And dumping.
But it has some very
strong
problems.
I now have this image of you in my head wrestling naked on a hearth rug before an open fire with Oleg Blokhin. It's not pleasant at all.
Well, if that situation were to ever arise, and I hope it doesn't, I think Blokhin would make mincemeat of me. The whole crowd would be spattered with my remains,
because
he's a very large, slab-like man.
Mm. Not that this wasn't on my agenda of things to talk about, but how was the band? I bet they at least kept a bit of atmosphere there in the stadium, yes?
The band were, you know, they were the band. I mean, they were making some noise when Ukraine fans went completely silent. But they were kind of annoying. It's just someone banging a drum about 50 yards away. England fans are magnificent, and they're all very happy, and we're not going home, as they keep singing. Everyone's going to Kiev now. I actually thought, despite the outrageous disallowed goal, which you wonder what was going on with that goal line official, and so Blatter will be rubbing his hands together saying, Mr. Platini, your experiment is rubbish. I thought England deserved to win, and Ukraine were fired up but quite poor.
Good, Barney. What have you been up to apart from these games you've been going to see? Have you been up to anything else there in Ukraine?
I've been doing lots of flying.
Right.
Which is about to stop for me. I've done 12 flights in the last sort of ridiculous, like 14 days. It's quite hard to get a hand on the Ukraine. It's such a huge country. Some of these stadiums are 600 kilometres apart.
So where will you be tonight?
I'm in the Shakhtar Plaza.
Ooh.
Which I can see right now, and it's about 50 metres from the stadium. It's absolutely magnificent.
Ah.
And last night I had an enormous three-room suite, with an enormous stocked minibar, complete with three ribbed condoms, which I've never seen in a minibar before. It shed some light on the kind of people who stay in suites.
Right. That's what we use very much. Tell me, did you say that they had three of these condoms, or they each had three ribs on them? How does it work?
I really don't know. They're still safely in their packet.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, fascinating stuff,
Barney. You know you should probably wear one, Barney.
I'm wearing one right now.
All right, that's good. As a hat.
Yes, yes.
Magnificent. Well, Barney, let's not interrupt your fun any longer. I look forward to catching up with you on your next port of call as you follow Roy's boys, the Brave Boys.
Yeah, I'll be in Kiev, hopefully then.
You'll be checking in Kiev, etc., etc. Good. Barney, lovely to speak to you as ever. And happy trails.
Euro 2012 Football Daily with AC Jimbo.
Just going back to Oleg Blokhin there.
Yes.
He was getting criticised in Ukraine for not singing the national anthem before games. So he responded tonight by when the Ukraine national anthem, which seemed incredibly long compared to all the other national anthems, by the way. But he responded to these critics by standing by the dugout, arms folded, resolutely refusing to sing along and remained tight-lipped throughout.
Wasn't a very happy night from all round.
I'm just going back to the disallowed goal. We know, obviously, that UEFA are opposed to, are very reluctant to introduce video technology. But perhaps they could introduce transparent goal frames, because that sixth official or eighth official, whatever it is inevitably going to have his view impeded by the post.
Mm. Yeah, perspect frames. It's got to happen. Paul, tell us about France. What on earth happened there? 23 games unbeaten. That was France's run, and it all came to an end tonight against Sweden.
Yeah, and they didn't look like they really cared. You know, they started the game against England, the first match of the tournament, very sluggishly. And Blanc criticised them afterwards, saying the team lacked personality. And you could make that accusation again tonight, or you could say they did have a personality, but it was a rotten personality, and they were just arrogant and lazy, because they came into the
French
match.
French, even.
Yeah. Because they were... France, as I mentioned before, are at their best when they play at a high tempo, and they were at a very low pedestrian tempo for the entire match, even when it became apparent that Sweden could threaten them, despite not being especially good. France couldn't raise their tempo at all, even when they heard that England took the lead. Still no reaction. There was a lot of basic errors as well from Mexes, who everyone has identified as an accident waiting to happen before the tournament, although he got a yellow card tonight, so he missed their next match, which will presumably mean that Laurent Koscielny will finally come in. But Blanc himself was also culpable tonight, because he waited a long time to make any changes, even though it was apparent that his system wasn't working, and some players, such as Samir Nasri, were just not performing. And then, as we know from the England game, Sweden are particularly vulnerable in the air at the back, and the obvious thing would have been to introduce Olivier Giroud, which he didn't do until 5 minutes from the end, and with his first touch he almost scored with a header. But it was a failure, a fairly comprehensive failure by everyone involved with France. It was as bad as any performance that they had at that infamous 2010 World Cup. Mm. It really was.
Was it another case of a manager being associated with Spurs and the national team jobs? And since that story comes out, the team performances begin to tail off.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I'm feeling particularly good about having bigged up Laurent Blanc in quite a few pieces recently. So, yeah,
well,
it did seem like France had a stinker, and he just seemed incapable of reacting to what was going on, which wasn't particularly encouraging from France's point of view. And if they play anything like that, I mean, given how much trouble they had against Sweden, you wouldn't hold out a huge amount of hope. They've got to improve massively to have a chance against Spain.
Well, do you think this is a warning sign, or just a momentary blip that they got this out of their system?
Well, it's hard to know. Since they beat Germany in a friendly in, I think it was February, and that was hailed as a great coming-of-age moment for Blanc's team, because they were excellent for 90 minutes. But since then, although they have frequently been excellent, they haven't produced an all-round 90-minute performance, although they were getting closer and closer in the warm-up matches prior to the tournament. But in this tournament, they haven't been at their best for more than 45 minutes, I'd say, in any game. So it's hard to know whether they're on the slide or whether it's just a blip.
Amy, have you ever been to Ukraine?
Come on, James.
You have. You've been there in a train.
I have.
Was this in a Dr. Seuss book or something? Or what?
It was a real journey.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't in a book. And I went from London by train all the way to Ukraine.
How many days?
To watch a football match.
Oh, yeah.
2.5 days.
Was it Arsenal?
It was in Dynamo Kiev when Dennis Bergkamp was a non-flying Dutchman.
Right.
And there was a game in Kiev, and it was established that he could attend Arsenal's previous weekend match in Coventry and then catch the train and go all the way in time for the match in Ukraine in the Champions League. And
did you go with him on the train?
That was the plan.
Ah,
only happened? Unsurprisingly, Dennis pulled a hamstring. Very, you know, had a twinge in this Coventry game. So
you were left
I went
there.
Anyway with some cardboard cutout of Dennis Bergkamp. And somewhere along the way, we were in a carriage on the overnight service to Kiev with a fantastic old Ukrainian woman, and everyone was sharing all their food, and I gave her a Kit Kat, and she was so overwhelmed she promised that if I would come with her to Odessa she would find me a handsome Ukrainian husband.
Right. Well, there you go.
That's my Ukraine train story.
That's a heck of a story, isn't it? When in Ukraine, pack a Kit Kat. That's very much the advice that I draw from that. England will be in Ukraine. Barney was mentioning this earlier. Sunday, they take on Italy. That's going to be quite a game. And, of course, a lot of the build-up is going to be all about the Italian Wayne Rooney, Balotelli.
The Italian Wayne Rooney?
Yes, that's right.
Why is he the Italian?
He is. He's the Italian Wayne Rooney. Come on, he's massively talented. The most talented player there, arguably, in terms of technical skill. He's the most suspect temperament. I'm talking about Wayne Rooney at Balotelli's age.
Okay, right. Yeah. Well, I think Wayne Rooney's a lot more mature than Balotelli now.
But he's also a lot older.
That should be a good game. England were obviously hoping to avoid Spain. They have done so. I think they were maybe worrying a bit too much about avoiding Spain and sort of took their eye off the ball when they should have been focusing on just winning their match. But anyway, I think on the evidence of what I've seen of Italy so far, and particularly in, say, the first half hour against Ireland last night, I would say Italy are eminently beatable. But if England play against them as they did in the first half this evening, I would say they will lose. But Italy are nothing special as far as I can see. So
they certainly look worse against the against Ireland than they had in the previous games, and I think it might be something to do with that whole, in inverted commas, spirito britannico, that they would see the Irish as in some way representing as much as, say, England will. They don't like facing England in teams. I'm making a massive generalisation here, but generally speaking, your Italian team does not like playing your English team.
I think it's you talked about Joe Hart before, and I think you can't underestimate the importance of Buffon to this Italian team. I think him and Pirlo are the players upon which really the whole thing is built in terms of what they're bringing from their experience, and they've both been playing really well in this tournament as well. Chiellini being absent might be a bit of a problem for the Italians in terms of the spirito britannico, as you call it. But I thought, particularly in the Ireland game, that the two fullbacks were really quite tasty.
Abate and Balzaretti.
Yeah, and I think that it might be an area of, you know, which is going to be, they'll perhaps...
Although the Italian...
They seem to have quite a lot of options in that particular area, obviously, yeah. Maggio as well, but...
Yeah, the Italian press felt there was a bit of a step backwards, that switch back to the four at the back. It's interesting how a lot of the big teams, their third group game was by far their worst. Germany didn't shine in the last one. Spain absolutely didn't. Italy really struggled against Ireland. England arguably had their worst performance, I think, of this tournament. No, against...
The only team that's probably played well in every match, even though the last one, I think, has been Portugal.
Right.
I've been quite impressed by them.
Interesting.
Just on the subject of the Italian Wayne Rooney, do you think he'll start against England, given that Di Natale did well and Cassano scored last night?
It's a very big question, that. And Prandelli was making a lot of noises about how he has to learn to accept the bench, which seemed to point towards him maybe not starting. I think also, if you're Prandelli, you would maybe... Prandelli, incidentally, who... last night, I think it was last night, got up at 3 a.m. to do a 21-kilometre walk to a monastery, along with the rest of the Italy staff. Not the players, they were all safely tucked up, a little pilgrimage thing. Interesting, that. Anyway, I think if you're Prandelli, you might feel that of all the opponents, England would be the riskiest ones to field Balotelli against, because I think they know exactly which buttons to press. So we shall see, we shall see. It does look like being a good game. We'll talk more about that as it draws a bit closer. That's not until next Sunday. You were mentioning Portugal, who are delighted to be playing the Czechs, and probably the Czechs mightn't be too unhappy about facing Portugal.
Well, they're probably happier to face Portugal than to face Germany. But as I've just said, I think Portugal, I'd certainly make Portugal favourites on the basis that they have a very solid all-round team. They're very good defensively, good in midfield and up front, with the exception of their continuing striking problems. They're very good. I really like Contrao at left back and his linkage with Cristiano Ronaldo has been fantastic. I'd certainly make Portugal strong favourites for
right.
that one.
Although we have seen some surprises, of course, as we always do in the tournament. They've been responsible for one, the Czechs. The other, of course, came from Greece, who now face Germany in that most keenly felt a contest for the Greeks, certainly. What do you think about their chances, Barry?
I think the chances are very slim, bordering on none.
Okay.
But, you know, they've made fools of us all before, and they possibly could do so again. I think Germany will win this tournament, but curiously, I also predicted in my pre-tournament prediction for The Guardian that we were asked to say when England or how England will get on, and I said they would get knocked out in the quarterfinals by Italy on penalties.
Really? Well, yeah, that is interesting. All right, so no one's really looked that good except perhaps for Portugal a bit, and Germany have been kind of quietly confident than that. Amy, anyone really impressed for you? Any moments of the tournament so far? What's really lit your candle?
Well, obviously that Greece game was pretty unbelievable, and it was one of those great occasions when you're watching the wrong game, as I was that night. I think it's been, you know, Holland going out has obviously been a pretty fascinating viewing, albeit of a different way. You feel like you're watching a car crash. And there's been some, you know, some really good football and some good players. I've enjoyed this tournament immensely so far, I must say. I hope that the knockout stages continue to be so enthralling, but probably won't now I've said that.
Yeah, you poo-pooed my Joe Hart suggestion earlier. So who's been your player or revelation of the tournament so far? It's you next, Paul Don.
Ask someone else while I think
about
it.
Here you go, Paul.
Well, revelation implies there's someone I didn't really know much about beforehand. That would be Gabriel Selassie of the Czech Republic right back. Mm-hmm. He's been a great marauder. And his clash with Portugal will be quite interesting with Ronaldo and Contrao.
Will he be, he'll be up against Contrao, won't he?
Yeah.
Super.
He's an interesting story, actually. He's the son of an Ethiopian doctor who's married to a Czech teacher. And, he's obviously stands out as a black man in a otherwise entirely white Czech team. But he's really impressive. And I think he said himself that you can stand out for the wrong reasons, because if you have a shocker, you know, people will also notice. But I would agree with Paul, he's been very impressive.
All right, what's been your favourite bit so far, Barry?
I've seen possibly my favourite bit, and it should really be a source of great shame, but there's some video footage going around of rather tired and emotional Football Association of Ireland president John Delaney being accosted by fans after a night out, and they're calling him to give a speech, and what ensues would be sort of cut from the script of Father Ted for being too over the top and unrealistic. It is just ridiculous. And this is a man who, I don't know how much he earns, but it's more than, say, Shamrock Rovers got for winning the League of Ireland Championship last season. And with the League of Ireland in just a shambles at the moment, a financial mess, it's heartwarming to see that this man is at the helm of Irish football.
Nice one.
And the Irish fans, while they've been patronised a lot, but there have been some funny moments with them as well. The two guys standing in front of a line of riot police with the Father Ted signs, you know, careful now, down with this sort of stuff. Today I saw a picture of one Irish fan setting about a couple of riot police with a big inflatable green hammer. So that's it's good to see they're enjoying themselves when there hasn't been so much to enjoy on the field,
well,
results-wise.
Indeed not, Paul.
I love Karagounis' reaction to being booked. Yeah. He nearly combusted. And it would be great if one of the cameras, one of the many cameras that UEFA seem to have assigned to picking out nice-looking ladies in the crowd, is trained on him for the quarter-final on the dugout. It could be quite amusing to watch his emotions.
I think it's a testament as well to how good these knockout stages have been that you almost forget this sort of, because it seems so long ago now, but the Shevchenko moment at the beginning of the tournament, and also Kuba scoring that goal for Poland, which were both, you know, really great moments within the context of the tournament.
I've missed a few games now because, you know, games being played simultaneously, so I've only seen highlights. Am I correct? Is there considerably fewer penalties and sendings off than usual?
And only two red cards.
Two red cards, one of which was totally undeserved.
The refereeing has been very good. It's like they've made a conscious decision to return a bit of contact to the game, you know. Good, rugged challenges are being allowed, with the exception of that clown who reffed the Ireland match yesterday. Otherwise, there's been a pleasing lenience in that regard.
But that said, there have been sort of penalty shouts that haven't been given. Wayne Rooney should have had one tonight for a tug on his shirt when he went to Steven Gerrard sent him off on that lightning-fast counter-attack, and Timoshuk grabbed a hold of his shirt inside the penalty area and gave it a yank to stop him scoring, and that should have been a penalty. But yeah, there it isn't just me. There have been quite a few.
It's not just you.
Yeah, the only thing this tournament's missing is some proper man fighting, clearly.
Right. Apparently Ron is going to provide that for us tonight.
Looking
we
forward to
it. We can read
it.
All about it tomorrow.
Excellent. Well, that brings us to the end of today's group stage finale Euro 2012 Football Daily. We're not back tomorrow. We will be back on Thursday, though, with our reaction to the first of the quarterfinals. It looks at his notes. It's going to be the Czech Republic Portugal, isn't it? That's the first one. Oh, that's the game we're all looking forward to. You can join us then, a little bit after midnight UK time, thanks to the good offices of producer Ben. For now, though, it's many thanks to Barry Glendening, to Paul Doyle, and to Amy Lawrence, and from all of us here, bye-bye.
Euro 2012 Football Daily. Woof.